Hey there, welcome to the fall edition of Hebrew Club, Moedon Ivri. That's Club Hebrew. All right, double entendre for you new guys. Club Hebrew, we defeat Hebrew with the club. All right. Welcome, everybody. We are continuing our reading of 2 Samuel. And we're in chapter 3, verse 14. And again, for those of you who are new, I'll pause. I read the verse, then I translate it and parse some of the verbs and then ask if there's any questions. So feel free to ask any questions about the text. We'll be happy to have a discussion here about that kind of stuff. I try to cover between 8 and 10 verses. If you need to leave because to go to class or whatever, feel free to get up and go whenever you want. We're kind of free around here. We left off at the end of the summer with verse 13, so let me kind of catch you up here. If you remember, in the first part of this book where we are at, there is war between the house of David and the house of Saul. Both Saul and Jonathan have passed away. Remember, David was a very prominent general already and had a huge following, especially in Judah in the south, whereas Saul still had his loyal supporters in the north. And this chapter, remember, Abner was Saul's general, and Ishbosheth was Saul's son who was vying for power and was in power in Israel. So you had Ishbosheth, Saul's descendant, versus David. Abner was supporting Ishbosheth, his general. Now in chapter 3, if you will remember, Abner, the general, took the concubine of Saul, Rizpah. Okay, Rizpah, that means hot coal, by the way. It's kind of an interesting name for the concubine, hot coal. And so Abner went into the king's harem and took Rizpah. Ishbosheth took exception to this. All right, because remember, when you take over someone's concubines, it's kind of an act of authority over them. It's a strong move politically, saying I'm the one in charge. Ishbosheth didn't like it. Abner says, "Who are you to talk to me like the head of a dog?" See, so then Abner shifts his loyalty to David. He decides that he's going to work, to bring Israel into David's camp and obviously then eventually unite Israel and Judah. So the north and the south at this time were kind of at odds with each other. So where we left off, David agreed to this on the condition that when Abner comes to visit him, he brings Michal, his wife. If you will recall earlier, way back in 1 Samuel, Saul had given his daughter Michal to David for a wife, and then David had paid the bride price for her, and Saul gave her to another man instead. And so David wanted her back, and he said, "Abner, I'll make a treaty with you on the condition that Michal comes." Okay, and that's where we pick it up on verse 14. So we're still in tension between Abner, David, north and south here. And something very interesting will happen. Probably get to it next week. So we're on verse 14. Vayishlach David Malkim el Ishbosheth ben Shaul emor. Tena et ishti et Michal asher erasti li b'me'ah arlot pelishtim. Okay. Starting at the beginning then. Then David sent, Vayishlach. Then David sent Malakim messengers to Ishbosheth. Ishbosheth. Notice that the name translates man of shame. So Bosheth is probably a substitute for man of Baal or Baal man, see? So man of shame, son of Saul, saying, Tena, give. See the root there from Natan? Tena is a call imperative, masculine singular. Notice that there's a hey at the end of it. Remember, verb forms like cohortatives usually have the hays at the end, but here you have imperatives. It's very common to put a hay at the end of an imperative as well. So it's just, normally you would see this written as tav nun, but here it's tav nun hay. Okay? So tana, give ishti, give my wife, et Michal, whom a rasti, whom I betrothed. What's the root? Everybody see the root of Erasti? Someone tell me. Yarash. Not Yarash. Close. It's actually Aleph Resh Sin. Arash. This is a PL perfect. First common singular. Erasti. Okay? So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, son of Saul, saying, Give my wife, Michal, whom I have betrothed, Lee, to myself. Okay? In exchange for. Now notice when you give something in exchange for something else, you use the bait. In exchange for Maah, that's the number 100, 100 arlot, foreskins of the Philistines. If you remember in 1 Samuel 18, that's when David got the foreskins. You can imagine they didn't give it over willingly. So the Philistines probably didn't survive the scalping, so to speak. So anyway, he had paid 100 foreskins. He wanted his wife. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, that's a lot of work if you think about it. All right, yeah. All right, any questions about verse 14, about the grammar or vocabulary or anything? It's fairly simple. All right, verse 15. Va'yishlach Ishbosheth, va'yikachecha me'imish, me'ampaltiel ben la'ish. Okay. Then Ishbosheth sent, again from Shalach, then Ishbosheth sent and yikachecha, took her. See the root of yikachecha? Very common word, anyone? What is it? Lakach. Remember, this lamed verb behaves like a first nun. The lamed assimilates, and that's why you have the dagesh and the kaf. Vayikachecha. And he took her, me'im, from ish, from her husband, from her man. Okay. Notice again, Hebrew likes to squish prepositions together, so the me'im is min plus im. In English, you can't say from with. See, you might say from the side of or something, but just from her husband. Me'im, again you have it, from Paltiel. Okay, that's the name of the guy. Notice it means, Palat means to save or to rescue, ale. So God saved me, or God is my savior, rescuer. Son of Laish. All right, questions on 15. All right, good. Verse 16. This is kind of sad here. Vayelek itesha halok uvako achareha ad bachurim vayomer lav avner lek shuv vayashov. Okay. Vayelek. And he went with her, Isha, her husband. Notice that the subject is Isha. Preposition is in between. So her husband went from Halak, five consecutive call. Her husband went with her. So notice, as Michal was going, her husband, Paltiel, went with her. Now notice the next construction, the words Halok u Vako. Both of those are call infinitive absolutes. Notice the form Halok. Notice that the Holam is written with a moder letter. In Bako, it's also a call infinitive absolute, just doesn't have the moder letter. So it's Halok Uvako. Notice the forms are exactly the same. One from Halak, one from Baka. All right. Baka means to weep. When Hebrew, this is a very kind of easy way when Hebrew wants to indicate simultaneous actions. It very often will use infinitive absolutes together like this. So literally it's, her husband went with her walking and weeping. See, walking and weeping. In English we'd probably say something like, her husband went with her weeping as he walked. See? So it's kind of a sad picture. All right? And then the achareha, after her. So in other words, you translate the whole line, her husband went with her weeping as he walked after her. Ad Bahurim. Up until Bahurim, it's the name of a place. Up until Bahurim, it's a little northeast of Jerusalem, supposedly. All right? So her husband went with her weeping as he walked after her all the way up until Bahurim. So you can imagine Michael's going, being escorted, And there comes Patael a few steps behind her, weeping along the way. It's very, all right? So now notice how this little episode ends. It's just so typical. Then Abner said to him, Vayomer Elav Abner. Then said to him Abner, Lake Shuv. Okay, notice Lake is the call imperative from Halak. And then Shuv is the call imperative from Shuv. Okay, so Lake here functions as kind of an interjection. Go on, turn away. Lake Shuv. Notice two imperatives together. Go on, turn away. Vayashov. And so he went. Vayashov, what's the root of Vayashov? Shuv again. It's from Shuv. All right? Call, Vav consecutive imperfect. Why is there a holem there and not a kibbutz or something like that? Notice that it is in pause at the end of the verse, so the vowel lengthens from to shov, vayashov. When a verb is in pause, remember, the vowel will lengthen, and that's what you have here, from the shuruk to the holem. All right? So it's so funny how it ends up. You know, Abner says, time to go, and he went. Abner had a lot of power, if you remember. I mean, he was a powerful man. Probably when he said something, Paltiel said, okay, I better. All right, any questions on 16?
Because you have a respect for a guy who can throw some blood of his spear.
Exactly, through while you're on the run. Yeah, after warning him, you better get away. Verse 17. Udevar Avner, haya im zikne Yisrael lemor, gam tamol gam shil shom, Hayitem mevakshim et David lemelech alekem. Okay. Udevar, then the word of Abner was with the elders, the Ziknei, the elders of Israel, saying. Okay. It's kind of an interesting way of saying it. It doesn't say that he spoke. It's kind of a roundabout way. The word of Abner was with the elders of Israel. And you wonder if what it means is that Abner sent messengers, all right, to talk with the elders of Israel, saying, now here's another idiom, very interesting, gam timol, gam shil shom. Timol is an adverb that means previously, and shil shom means in time past, sometimes more specifically the day before yesterday. Very often, the timol and shil shom occur together to mean something like previously. All right. You have a few other places, like three other places that I found where you have gam temol, gam shilshom. So I don't know if there's supposed to be a little emphasis added. I mean, if you do it very woodenly, it's also previously, also in time past. All right. But idiomatically, what it means is up to this point or hitherto, okay, heyitem, you were mevakshim, you were seeking David. Notice the heyitem is, what's the root? Haya, call, second masculine plural. What's the mevakshim? What kind of word is that? Good. P.L. participle from bakash. Notice the mem at the beginning. P.L. participle from bakash. Haya in combination with the participle, you would translate something like past progressive. You were seeking. So up to this point, or hitherto, you have been seeking or were seeking David to be Melech, king over you. So notice that Abner seems to acknowledge that even the leaders of Israel wanted David for their ruler, not Ishbosheth. All right? And so now Abner is going to propose the plan. And notice the first thing that he did was got Michal to go back to David, which is what David demanded before Abner can appear to him. Okay? Questions through 17. All right, number 18. Ve'ata asu ki Yahweh amar el David lemor be'yad David abdi hoshiat ami Yisrael mi'yad pilishtim u'mi'yad kol oyvehem. Okay, so now asu, do it. This is a call imperative from Asa, to make or to do. So now do it, for Yahweh said to David, saying, and I quote, by the hand of David my servant, Hoshea, This form is, notice the root is from Yasha, and it's a Hifil form. Everybody see that it's a Hifil form? It can be either a third masculine perfect, he saved, or an infinitive construct. Notice just the form out of context. All right. Notice the footnote. There's a flag on the play. If you look under 18A, notice that most or a lot of manuscripts and versions, instead of having Hoshea, have an aleph instead of the hey. I will save, which makes sense. Most translations translate it this way. So they would translate, do it, for Yahweh said to David, by the hand of David my servant, I will save my people Israel. See? That's how it's translated. So if you take it as an infinitive construct, you can kind of get the same meaning, but to take it as a perfect Hifil, it would be, my servant David has saved or saved my people, which doesn't seem to make much sense in this context. Does everybody see what I'm saying? That's why if you read this in translation, most translations will say, translate, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from all oyvehem, their enemies. Okay. Questions through 18? Anything? Yes?
Just down low versus versions 1 SG, what is that?
First singular. That's basically saying many manuscripts have this reading, Aleph, Vav, Shin, and then the versions, like the Greek versions. So if you look in the Septuagint, it would probably have the first person singular of the Greek. Okay? Good. Anything else? All right. Verse 19. Vayedaber gam avner be'ozne binyamin. Vayedek gam avner ledaber be'ozne David be'chevron. Et kol asher tov be'enei Yisrael.
See, now notice Abner is being very political here. He's doing a lot of work to try to get the kingdom consolidated. It's very interesting.
Then Abner also spoke. Vayedaber. Okay, PL perfect, Vav consecutive from Davar. Then Abner also spoke into the ears of Benjamin. Remember, the tribe of Benjamin is what he's talking about. And obviously it means the leaders of Benjamin. And then he went, Vayelek from Halak. Also Abner. Then also Abner went to speak into the ears of David, who was in Hebron, Bechevron. Okay, remember, David's stronghold was in Hebron. That's where he was. Okay, and notice what he spoke. That's what is the et indicates. Abner also spoke in the ears of Benjamin, and then he went, also Abner went, to speak into the ears of David in Hebron, all which was good in the eyes of Israel. Namely, all the wishes of Israel. All right? And in the eyes of the house of Benjamin. So, in other words, both Benjamin and Israel wanted to join David. So, Abner was greasing the skids, so to speak. So, he went and talked to the leaders of Israel. He went to talk to the leaders of Benjamin. And then he sent messengers to David to tell him the wishes of these countries. All right? So, Abner, I mean, when you think about it, was a great man here, bringing kind of peace to the kingdom. I mean, he had enough of Ishbosheth, probably enough of the war and everything that was going on. Okay? Questions up to that point? Okay?
Yeah. Benjamin,
because Benjamin, it was in the south, located more in the south with Judah, and Benjamin and Judah were usually seen together. And remember, Benjamin, Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin, so you probably have some political alliances. It's probably a touchier situation than with the other tribes. I mean, you know, there's a lot that's kind of not being said here, but you can kind of see the tensions between the north and the south already at this time. David, remember, united the kingdom. The kingdom was united under Solomon. Then what happened after Solomon? Broke up again. See, so you already see things weren't rosy before David either. All right, the end of verse 20 then. Ve'ito esrim anashim, vayas David lavner ve'la anashim asher to mishte. And with him, namely with Abner, were esrim 20 anashim, 20 anashim, 20 men. Okay, and David made vayas, see the root, what's the root? Asa, notice the hey drops off as you would expect in the Vav consecutive. David made for Abner and for the men who were with him a mishtah, a feast. All right. Verse 21. Vayomer Abner el David. Then Abner said to David, Akuma matata. Just kidding. There's no matata. Akuma ve'eleka ve'ek betzael Adoni hamelech et kol Yisrael. Okay. Notice what you have with the akuma and the eleka. At the end of those words, what are those things called? Okay, they could be directive heis if it was nouns that they were at, but these are verbs. So these are cohortative forms. Notice that these are all imperfect. Akum and eleik, then you add the hey at the end of them, and it's kind of conventionally translated, let me rise. So this is a call, cohortative from kum, and then this is from halak. So let me rise and let me go. Now notice a third one, ve'ek betza, and let me gather. All right, to my Lord, Adoni, to my Lord the King. Notice how Abner is addressing David. He said, my Lord the King. Remember, Abner was supporting Ishbosheth, so notice the way he talks is even switched. He switched loyalties. So let me rise, let me go, and let me gather to my Lord the King, et kol, all Israel. Okay? Ve'yik revu it ka berit. And so that they might make, from karat, with you a treaty, berit. So that they might make a treaty with you. Okay? Umalakta. And you will reign over all which ve nafsheka, which your heart desires. Okay, let me kind of look at that again. So notice how you have the cohortative, akuma, let me rise, let me go, let me gather to my Lord the King, all of Israel, so that they might make a treaty with you. Notice that that's a vav plus imperfect from karat. Notice how in a text like this, you can use different verb forms, because the next verb form is a vav plus, is that perfect or imperfect? That malakta. It is a perfect form. Notice second masculine singular perfect. So he switches very easily from a vav imperfect to a vav plus perfect. All right? And the translations, notice it's kind of in the same context. I will rise, I will go, and I will gather to my Lord the King all of Israel so that they might make a covenant with you and so that you might rule over all which your soul desires, your nefesh desires. Te'aveh. Notice that that's a PL, imperfect, third feminine singular from Aleph Vav He, from Ava, to desire. Okay? All right, then the end of the verse, Vayeshalech, so David sent et Abner. So David released Abner, that's a PL from Shalach, and he went Beshalom, in peace. Okay? So David had a feast, they made this agreement. Abner's going to go gather Israel, and there's going to be peace, and David went peacefully away. Okay? Or we'll do one more verse here. Vehinea avde David veyoav ba, oh, this is good, meha gedud veshalal rav imam heviu veavner einenu im David bechevron ki shilcho vayelek beshalom. Okay, notice the repetition in Hebrew narrative. Vehine. Now look, the servants of David, and this probably refers to his troops, the servants of David and Joab. Uh-oh. Remember who Joab was? The general that was in charge of David's army. So Joab and Abner were counterparts. What had Abner done in book one? He had killed Joab's brother. So Joab didn't like Abner, to say the least. So look, the servants of David and Joab, who happened to be, so Joab came from HaGadud, from the raid. Gadud means raid or raiding party. And Shalal Rav, spoil great. Great spoil with them, Heviu, they had brought. That's a hiphil perfect from Bo to come in the call to bring in the hiphil. And great spoil with them they had brought. But Abner, Einenu, was not with David. This is from Ain plus the suffix third masculine singular, Einenu. But Abner was not with David, as we already know, Bechevron in Hebron. For Shilcho, that's a PL perfect, for he had sent him. See, for he had released him, send him away, Vayelech, and he had gone Beshalom in peace. So notice how Hebrew, the narrative, as you'll see, you know, it's repeating itself because obviously the author of this text wants to emphasize that David had a good relationship with Abner because of what's going to happen next. All right, so he's setting you up already by reminding you that Abner's relationship with David was good, that David had sent him away in peace. All right. All right, any questions through 22? All right, very good. Well, we will stop there. I got a 12:30 class myself. We'll stop there, and thanks you guys for coming, and I'll see you all next week. We'll continue.